Hello and welcome to the Blockade Runner podcast number 239. My name is John. With me as always is Ryan. What's up, Ryan?
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Ryan, we decided to be patient and record our 2023.
Our 2000th episode.
Yeah, no, we're going to be real patient about that. I think so patient that we'll never hit that number. But no. We are going to record our 2023 preview episode tonight. We were going to roll that all into one with our look back at 2022 last week, but we decided, you know, let's split that out and make it its own episode. So that's what we're doing tonight. We are going to look ahead to 2023 and talk about the big Star Wars projects on the horizon and what we're excited for in 2023 in Star Wars. But because we waited, there's a Mandalorian trailer that is releasing later on tonight during the big game.
The big game, yeah.
Right, yeah. So we'll be glued to our televisions watching the big game tonight. And during halftime, there will be a new trailer for season 3 of The Mandalorian. So we're going to record most of the episode, take a little break, wait for, you know, enjoy some football. And then we will come back, reconvene, and discuss Mandalorian season 3.
Are you actually going to watch the football on the telly?
No, I'm not going to do that. If I have time, I'll be watching Monday Night Raw until the trailer comes out. No, I won't be watching football.
Post it on Twitter. Yeah.
Yeah. Not that I don't want to be that guy who's like, oh, sports, those are terrible. I wouldn't watch sports, but like, no. I'm not actually like really following the NFL, at all for the last few years, but, football's fine. You know, it has its problems, as most sports do and most pieces of entertainment do. But I'm not watching the football game tonight, but I hope all who are enjoy it. And it's going to be extra fun because there is this trailer, right?
Yeah. I mean, maybe. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't even have cable, so I could not watch football even if I was compelled to. So I will just be hanging out, being perpetually online as I am, and eventually someone will be like, whoa, and the trailer will be there.
And yeah, I don't know if you need cable to watch Monday Night Football. I can't remember who has the license for Monday Night Football right now, but it might be on broadcast television. Or it might be on cable. I don't know. I think all the Thursday night games are on Amazon Prime, so you're probably covered there, right?
Really?
I think so. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, cool. It's a big. Yeah, everybody's making a big push right now. Apple's looking to get the rights to the Premier League, so you could enjoy that potentially in the future.
They got MLS for the next season.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And well, let's not even get into it. WWE is for sale too, and there are some really frightening prospects for buyers, but also people like Netflix, which would actually, that'd be scary too. That would be awful. People are talking about Disney. You know what I mean? We could get that big Star Wars WWE crossover maybe.
Or the Saudis.
Yeah. That's the nightmare scenario I'm trying to talk myself out of, you know, so we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Or maybe we reinstate the wrestling monopoly and the Khan family buys WWE, you know, who knows?
No, thank you.
I also agree that would not be the best thing, but I'll take it over the Saudi Royal Investment Fund. So let's go. Ryan, this is a terrible start to our episode. We have not talked about Star Wars at all. Let's get into this. I mean, come on. We're not here to talk about wrestling, Ryan. We're here to talk about The Bad Batch. Let's go.
Let's talk about some good guys. Let's talk about the troopers.
Last week, by the way.
What? What is going on with you here?
That's not. What is this stuff on here? We're hockey night in Canada, and we're talking about saving the world and all that stuff. Let's talk hockey.
Well, that's the whole idea behind December the 25th.
Let's talk about some good guys.
Okay.
Let's talk about the troops.
We'll be right back.
Yeah. That's right. That's what the holiday is all about. So, dear Ron McLean, the Bad Batch is back and badder than ever, Ryan. I'm really enjoying it, actually. So I think this will be a shorter segment because I don't believe you're looking ahead at the Bad Batch at all. That's not the plan for you, right?
No,
you're not going to watch it.
I'm not looking backwards, forwards, or currently at the Bad Batch. It is not something I'm watching now.
Okay. Well, I have been keeping up with the Batch. There are 3 episodes out so far. I believe it's a 16 episode season, I want to say. It will overlap with The Mandalorian a little bit, running into March. So 3 episodes out so far, 2 for the premiere. And then there was an episode last week called The Solitary Clone, the 3rd episode, which a lot of people are really losing their mind over how good that episode was. And I agree, it was really, really good. I'm not quite losing my mind to the degree that a lot of people are, but I've seen quite a few comments suggesting one of the best episodes of Star Wars television ever, one of the best animated Star Wars television episodes ever, etc. So it was a very good episode. And Ryan, it did not feature, I'll just tell you this, okay, because you're making faces over there and, you know, it did not feature, it only featured one member of the Batch the entire episode, and that is Crosshair. So no Wrecker, no Tech, no Hunter, no Omega. None of them were there. So it was almost like an episode of the Clone Wars or something. It was, it barely felt like an episode of the Bad Batch. If you think of the Bad Batch as this ensemble show with a lot of 80s action trope. Well, it had some of those. But anyway, point is, it was a non-traditional episode of the Bad Batch, very heavy stuff. And it was good. It was really good. And the season so far has been very good. And I'm pretty excited to watch the show every week. I will say, you know, after watching Andor and Obi-Wan Kenobi and the other live action Star Wars shows, having a reliably 25 minute, you know, quick animated episode to watch each week, it really feels like, you know, sometimes I'll be thinking, with these last 2 weeks, it's been like, how am I going to squeeze this in? Or where am I going to find the time to watch this episode? And they're just like really quick and pretty breezy. I mean, last week's episode was heavy in terms of the content, and it was definitely more of a, an emotional and kind of like intellectual sort of episode, I guess you'd say, of that show. I feel like you may be having trouble believing that right now, but it really was a more thoughtful kind of episode. But still, it was a pretty quick watch, you know. So I am very excited to have 25 minutes or so of new Star Wars content each week on Wednesdays on Disney Plus. And you know, so far every episode has been very good. The 3rd episode was very, very good, and yeah, I think fans of the Batch, Ryan, are you know, going to be eating well here going forward. At least that's what I'm hoping. That's what it feels like. There's quite a few people who saw the first, I want to say, 14 episodes of the series, something like that, right? Some of friends of the show who are influencers and get access to early screeners of the show. You've seen that, Ryan, on Twitter. You've seen people saying like, "Oh, I saw the first 14 episodes." Right? Come on.
Yeah. I'm very much aware of that. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you kind of no-sold it when I said that. Like, you were looking at like, well, maybe, I don't know. But anyway, a lot of people have seen it, and the buzz is good. And so far, the first 3 episodes are, I think, living up to expectations. So,
of course, the buzz is good. Those people. So,
well, what I'm saying, Ryan, Mr. Cynical, what I'm saying is that the buzz was positive, and now I myself, with my own eyes, have seen 3 episodes, and those 3 episodes back up what the buzz has been so far. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what if someone, say, for example, watched the first season and thought it was like completely disposable and did not like those characters at all, will season 2 change their mind?
Probably not. Probably not. Although I think season 1, so far anyway, season 1 was much more interested in establishing those characters and establishing the personality sort of quirks and traits of those characters. And it would lean pretty hard into, like, for instance, I don't know if you remember Wrecker. There would be a lot of bang smash moments from Wrecker, you know, that were things that were a little more exaggerated and kind of heightened. And I think just first season establishing all that stuff, it was, a little more breezy and a little more silly at times. And I'm sure, you know, there was a little bit of silliness in the first three episodes, but the first two, I'm sure there will be more silliness as the season goes on, but it definitely feels a little more, I hate to say mature, but it feels like it doesn't feel like it needs to do those things so much anymore. And it's kind of settled into more of a focus on the story. But that being said, you know, if you really, really hated the first season or just didn't like it at all, and you really don't like those characters, yeah, I don't think like this season is such a change of direction that, you know, all of a sudden you'd be like, it's, you know, I love it, it's amazing, whatever. But I do think it is feeling a little bit, maybe it was premature because I've only seen three episodes, but it is feeling a little bit like the Clone Wars to me in the way that, you know, the first season was a little hit or miss for people, but as the show went on, the quality increased, and I think people were just much more kind of interested and on board with it as it went on. You know what I mean? Like if I go back and watch the Clone Wars movie, I mean, that's okay, but I think the show got a lot better from there, you know? So, and I don't know if that's happening with the Bad Batch necessarily to that degree, but it does feel like, I think it's leveled up a little bit. It seems better to me. But that being said, I loved the last couple episodes of the last season and thought they were amazing. The Kamino stuff. And I don't think that impressed you too much. Right. So yeah. I'll just continue to tell you if it's good or not every week. Okay. You can check in with me on the podcast.
I'll just believe you.
Yeah. 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 Right now I'm not ready to tell you it's so good that you should watch it too, Ryan, even though you don't want to, but you know, maybe there'll be a moment where I'm like, Ryan, do the hard work, go back and watch this show. It's worth it for you.
Yeah. Maybe you'll ignore me. Maybe there'll be like an episode or something that's like, yeah, should watch this. Cause I don't think, you know, I feel like season one, it like you could have skipped a lot of episodes and still got like the general story. Cause a lot of them were filler, and I'm sure there'll be more filler, in this, season, and the same way there was in Clone Wars and Rebels. But I mean, there may be, they do sometimes in these animated series, like have those like one-off episodes that are like a different show basically, that have like big repercussions in Star Wars universe, I guess.
Well, I think if you're open to the idea of like watching an episode, if it's a standout episode, and if it's like not one that's dependent on the rest of, you know, that you had to watch the ones that came before or whatever, last week's episode, The Solitary Clone, would be, I think, worth checking out. All you need to know is that Wrecker, actually, you don't need to know anything. If you know who Wrecker is and you know like that he is, you know, loyal to the Republic or the Empire, I mean, that's all you need to know, basically. Like, wait, it does
Wrecker
not...
or Crosshair?
Crosshair, I'm sorry, Crosshair. That'd be sweet. If they should do another, like, Solitary Clone Part 2, but it's about, like, Wrecker, that'd be cool. But no, Crosshair. And, yes, it's a... it doesn't require that you'd seen the previous two episodes of this season. It doesn't even totally really require that you saw the last season, really. You know, it is kind of a standalone story, and it's a very, very well-written episode, very good episode. And I'd almost go so far as to say if you're I know you're not the biggest Clone Wars fan, neither am I, but if you're somebody who watched the Clone Wars and enjoyed the Clone Wars, it feels like a Clone Wars episode in a lot of ways. And it has connections to the Clone Wars too. Almost more so than the Bad Batch. So, it doesn't really reference or even, you know, comment on the other characters in The Bad Batch or anything. It's pretty disconnected from that stuff. So, yeah, that'd be one to check out if you have an extra 25 minutes and you're feeling spicy.
Maybe. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Okay. Do you want to keep talking about The Bad Batch or should we move on to our next topic?
I would love to move on.
Okay. Let's talk about Celebration Europe, which is coming up in a few months, right? It's in April.
Yeah.
So 2.5 months, 3 months, something like that. Celebration Europe takes place in London. And you and I will not be there, Ryan. No. I don't think I ever really considered it. Just because of money and time and work and the fact that I went to Celebration last year, I would love to get to a, you know, Celebration Europe or a non-US Celebration at some point, but this year is not going to be the year. So you and I, along with many, many other Star Wars fans, are going to enjoy it from home, the way a lot of our friends have enjoyed, you know, Star Wars Celebration and, you know, we'll be following along from home. So I think there's still a lot to be excited about, even if, you know, we're not attending.
Yeah. I've been reading the, book American Hardcore, recently. And, I found out the origin of the Misfits song, London Dungeon.
Okay.
Which, is about, Glenn Danzig and I think maybe Bobby Steele getting arrested in London.
Oh,
so
okay.
As soon as you said Celebration London, I was like, that's nothing to celebrate.
The entire city is not anything to celebrate anymore because Glenn Danzig got arrested there in 1976.
London dungeon.
All right. I feel like there are other things London is notable for that maybe supersede Glenn being arrested there one time. Glenn Danzig, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see what else they contribute to culture in the coming years. Jury's still out.
Yeah.
England.
All right. Check this out, Ryan. One time I went to an Alkaline Trio concert in London, England.
And it was awesome. Awesome.
So I feel like we're back to level playing field for London. You know what I mean? They're at least an even, you know what I mean? Like a neutral position.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it could go either way.
Yeah. So it's going to be in London. We have at least a couple of friends who are attending Celebration. So, you know, I'm excited to live vicariously through our friends who are attending. Social media should be fun, you know, that week, and just following everybody who is there. And then of course there will be the Star Wars live stream, which will, the Star Wars show live stream, that'll be happening, that whole weekend, I'm sure. So I think, you know, that alone is going to be really fun. In some ways, you know, I feel like if I really just hunker down at home and kind of hang out at home that weekend and just follow the stream, like I may end up, you know, experiencing a lot of things that you kind of miss when you're there at the show. You can only be in so many places and a lot of interviews and things like that, that we, you know, I'm not following along on my phone when I'm at Celebration. And, you know, like I try to hit the Star Wars show stage and follow those things, but there's only so much you can keep up with, you know, so.
Can't be everywhere. And you oftentimes have no phone reception. So, you can't even follow along when you're like in lines and stuff a lot of the time.
Right. Yeah. So it'll be a different experience, but I think it'll be a fun one. Is there anything that you are hoping will take place at Celebration or, you know, sort of, I know if I was going, I'd be like thinking to myself, okay, man, I hope they do this panel or I hope they make this announcement or that these people will be there. So, what kinds of things are you, you know, kind of hoping will be part of the Celebration weekend?
I mean, we were just talking about this yesterday. I just yesterday finished Willow season one, which was phenomenal. The last couple episodes of that show were so good, and the whole season was so good. Just in general.
So your faith in Jonathan Kasdan is restored and you're hoping for Make Solo 2 happen at Celebration Europe?
No, I don't want him making Solo 2. I want him making more Willow.
Okay.
So I think, announcing. I really thought this Willow thing was going to be like a sustained, like one season thing. And that's kind of how it felt until basically the last episode. And then you're like, oh, whoa, okay, there are more ideas here. I think in a confirmation announcement, maybe a tease for season two.
Yeah, I think so too. And, if they don't announce it before then, but also just a panel, a Willow panel, would be great as well, because why not reflect on season one and look back at season one and maybe give some hints or make the announcement at that panel or whatever. But, regardless of what they are willing to talk about or ready to announce as far as season two goes, for sure, like celebrate the success of the show. And I'm sure Warwick Davis will be there anyway. And hopefully some other cast members, and yeah, like do
and
it up.
It's such like a European vibe to that show, and like so much of the talent and stuff, like it just feels right to kind of announce it there.
Yeah, I would think so. How about Star Wars at the movies? I mean, are you hopeful that there will be some Star Wars movie talk at Celebration Europe? Do you want that? I mean, where are you at with that?
It doesn't seem like those ducks are in a row yet. I mean, they could be, but we just hear I guess it's been quiet for the past few months, but there were so many conflicting reports about what's next, what's happening, what's not happening, what's getting added to the slate, what's getting pushed back, what's getting, held indefinitely. It doesn't feel like, I know things are cooking and being worked on, but it just, I don't know. It's still just going by what we know. Still doesn't feel like they quite have the plan solidified. And I know that the goal was to wait until the plan was solidified to make any more official announcements. I'm not expecting movie stuff, but I mean, it would be interesting.
Yeah, for sure. I think it'd be great if they could confirm at least one movie, and whether that's an update on something that was previously announced or the announcement of something new, but hopefully more solidified, then that would be great. I mean, there's Taika Waititi, there's Rogue Squadron, there's the Kevin Feige thing, the Rian Johnson movies. There's so many projects that have been announced when they're still very much in the, very, very beginning stages, it feels like, or sometimes not even, just a contract is made and that's it, and not much else has been done, it feels like. So I want to see Star Wars in the movies again. I'm personally, that's something I want, but I don't want them to announce things that aren't, pretty solid. That being said, it does feel like the rumor mill has been, fairly quiet about Star Wars movies, or at least as far as anything very affirmative with Star Wars movies. I guess people are always talking about, this is happening or it's not happening, or here's the drama behind the scenes or whatever. But as far as real momentum in terms of, this is things moving forward, you're right, it's been relatively quiet, right? But I think that the Damon Lindelof thing is the one project that we are still kind of hearing rumors that's, kind of consistently, that all seem to be kind of pushing in the right direction. And so, if that is going well, and they're ready to announce that would be exciting, I think, for sure. So
I think of all the all the potential ones that we've heard about that may or may not exist. I think probably, you know, the first for me is like Ryan Johnson, anything. And then probably like the Lindelof slash Taika Waititi. Like, I'm equally excited for either of those.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Ryan Johnson is, I feel like it's going to be a while before he's ready to do something, but you know, I guess we'll see. He has one more Knives Out movie to make, like on this deal that he did with Netflix. And I haven't like been following it super closely, but I don't think there's anything lined up as far as, you know, an announcement, you know, of when that will be filmed or where, you know, anything like that. Right. So that's got to be another probably 2 years before that movie comes out. And I can't imagine he's going to be making a Star Wars movie until after that happens. He also has this show on Peacock coming out this month. I forget the name of it. Starring Natasha Lyonne, Poker Face. That's happening. That's filmed. You know, so, but he's a busy guy. So we'll see. We'll see. I guess what I was trying to say there is that as much as it, for a while, it felt like, well, he signed on to do Knives Out movies for a long time. And so he's not going to be doing Star Wars for who knows how long. He does have two out of the three Knives Out movies done at this point. So, you know,
yeah.
Not that he couldn't do more Knives Out movies in the future, and maybe he will, but as far as the ones he's obligated to do at the moment, he's getting closer to being done with that. So I guess he'll decide at that point, maybe, or they will collectively decide if Star Wars is the next thing. But yeah, I don't know. I would love to see, of course, that's what I want the most too, right? I think that's what everybody who, unless you're somebody who didn't like The Last Jedi, that's what everybody wants the most, you know? But I think the Lindelof thing seems possible. Hey, you know who lives in Europe as far as last time I checked? Rick McCollum. I'd love to see Rick McCollum at Star Wars Celebration. I don't think he'll be there. And I don't think crossing the ocean on an airplane is like the one thing that stopped him from being at previous celebrations, but it'd be cool if he was at Celebration Europe. How about that?
That 8 or 9 hour flight is just a deal breaker.
Hey, I don't know.
That would be cool. I mean, I would love to see, I would say save him for Attack of the Clones anniversary. Or
we just had it.
Yeah. Revenge of the Sith anniversary. I also, we could just have another Attack of the Clones anniversary.
Hmm.
Like the 2021 year.
Yeah.
Anniversary, 22 year anniversary. We could just keep celebrating Attack of the Clones every celebration. I'd be fine with that. Yeah. But he could come to one of those.
Yeah.
Be like, are you ready to see Yoda fight? Swear a bunch. Like, that would be cool.
That would be cool. That would be cool. Yeah, maybe. How about are you hoping for an announcement of the next celebration? Celebration 2024, are you hoping for an announcement of that? Are you ready to Celebration again is what I'm asking?
No, absolutely. Like, I will definitely go to the next one stateside. Yeah, I hope it is announced. I hope there's one.
How about the next Japanese Celebration, Ryan? Will you go to that?
Possibly.
Oh, okay.
I mean, we've been... Have they done a Celebration in Japan?
They did do a Celebration in Japan. Yes.
Okay.
I don't remember what year it was. But they did do one. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, we were, my wife and I were supposed to, go to Japan, in 2020. We were going to make that trip, and then, obviously COVID and everything stopped that from happening. And then, like, since then, like, there's been like travel restrictions to some degree, and I think those have kind of lightened up to a degree now. But I would love to, like, that would be like a great excuse to make the trip and kind of, you know, have that be like a component of it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. How about let's move on to Jedi Survivor, the sequel to Jedi Fallen Order.
The Order is gone. I was betrayed by the one I trusted most. I will not be imprisoned again.
I hear you've been busy making yourself the Empire's most wanted.
A Jedi. Remind our friend here why his kind are supposed to be dead.
Here we go.
After all we've done, the Empire has only grown stronger.
Thanks, Bode.
Part of the job, Kestis.
The Jedi is a threat.
Now that we have this.
As long as we fight. Hope survives.
Jedi Fallen Order is a game I always associate with Star Wars Celebration Chicago, because I went to the panel there for Fallen Order, and it was just, you know, a lot of people were really excited at that time for the upcoming game, you know, Jedi Fallen Order. So there was a lot of buzz about that at Celebration Chicago. So yeah, I always associate that game with Celebration. But yeah, Jedi Survivor is coming out sometime this year, I think pretty soon. I have to confess, I haven't been following it that closely because I don't have a console I can play it on. So I know I won't be playing it right away. So I haven't been...
March 17th.
March 17th. Kevin's birthday. Dan's birthday. St. Yeah. Patrick's Day. Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. Exciting. So yeah, Ryan, we're in a weird place here because I think I'm probably more looking forward to the game than you are, but I'm pretty sure you'll play the game and I won't. So that's where we're at.
Yeah. I mean... I think this will be the first like truly like next gen Star Wars game, or which is now the current gen. So I think like the tech side of it is exciting to have, you know, a kind of cutting edge Star Wars game. I think that's something that's always been one of like the cool parts about upgraded hardware for video games, whether it be on PC or console. New Star Wars games are always kind of there. They've always been there with kind of every generation. I think tech-wise, like it's pretty exciting. It should look phenomenal. I think like I liked the I liked the overall story of Fallen Order. I don't think it was anything like too groundbreaking within the realm of Star Wars. But it was a pretty solid story. There were some gameplay stuff I liked, some aspects I didn't like quite as much. Didn't care for the protagonist too much. Didn't love Cal Kestis. There were rumblings a while ago about... first there was the rumor that he wasn't even going to be in the game and that it was going to be a new protagonist. And then there's... people are like, no, not right, but there is someone else you play as. And that part of it is, you know, it's just a rumor, but that's intriguing and interesting to me. I think, yeah, like playing as just about anyone else, I think would be kind of a cool thing for that game. So yeah, I don't know. Like I will most likely play it at or near launch. Mostly just because I'm kind of excited about like the tech stuff to see like a, you know, native like 4K, hopefully 60 frames per second, you know, Star Wars action game. Should be.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm kind of like, again, I won't be playing it right away because I don't have an next gen console. I can't imagine I will buy one, you know, for at least a year or two. But I would like to play it eventually. But I don't care about the story. Like, you know, I know, like I don't really care if I'm Cal Kestis or if I'm not. I don't, you know, I really like the gameplay of the first game. It was a little combat heavy for me, but the like world exploration, I guess, whatever you want to say, that kind of thing, like the kind of Metroid-esque components of it. I know it was sort of light, you know, Metroid touch or whatever, but there was enough of it there that I thought that was kind of pretty fun, you know, like going back to places, being able to, you know, access areas you hadn't been able to get to before, or just, you know, that kind of stuff. I enjoyed that quite a bit, and I thought the game was pretty fun to play. Usually, you know, yeah. Anyway, I thought it was a fun game, so I would like to play another game in that series. So I'm looking forward to it on that level, but it'll be a little while for me. But you know, as we talk about that, I'm thinking to myself, well, wait a minute. So that's the game that we know is releasing in 2023, but hopefully Star Wars Celebration will bring some Star Wars game announcements as well. I mean, I know there's a couple other games that have been announced that are in development, but you know, considering the popularity of Star Wars, I feel like lately there hasn't been too much going on in the video game front, and it would be nice to get something like that. I was playing the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the new Turtles beat 'em up game, Shredder's Revenge, a couple weeks ago. And I was thinking to myself, like, man, you know, like why can't we get some Star Wars games like on this scale? You know, I don't think they're going to make a Star Wars beat 'em up, but there's a lot of genres of video games. And, you know, once in a while we get something like Star Wars Pinball was great. I still play that on my Switch from time to time. And that's a great, you know, example of taking a genre besides just, you know, the action adventure genre or the first person shooter genre and making a Star Wars game, right? Squadrons was cool on that in that regard too, but yeah, they could be definitely doing more, I think. And, you know, as we discussed in the past, the Star Wars game development area has opened up a little bit where now EA is not the exclusive rights holder anymore. So Lucasfilm Games is a thing, you know, so it would be great to get some surprise announcements or new announcements for Star Wars games. And I would love to see things that are maybe a little less things outside of the first person shooter or, you know, third person action game genres. So,
yeah, I mean, I would personally like to see Star Wars RPG of some sort. And I know they're like that Knights of the Old Republic remake was announced for PS5 a few years ago now. And then like the last thing we heard about that was that it was like indefinitely postponed.
Yeah.
And that like development had just fallen apart.
Metroid Prime 4. It's Metroid Prime 4 right now, yeah. I think. Yeah.
So they're either rebooting that or like starting over with that or canceling it or whatever is happening with that. And I don't know. Like, I don't think Knights of the Old Republic remake is the most exciting thing you could do with a big budget in the Star Wars license. I think Knights of the Old Republic is pretty much still playable now. It's not like, I can't even like look at this game and people can't figure it out or anything. Like, it's like, I don't know. I don't know if it necessitates a full-scale remake that involves like 1,000 person development team over 5 years. Like, I don't know if that's like the best use of resources and the license, but I would like to see just like another role-playing game in the Star Wars universe. I mean, it could be set in the Old Republic or not. I don't think it necessarily has to be. But, you know, it's just Star Wars is just so perfect for role-playing, especially like, you know, when it's like driven by player choice and, you know, because you have these like binary morality systems like already built into the storytelling. So, yeah, I would like to see something like that. I mean, even like another shot at a MMO would be cool. I liked Star Wars Galaxies. I liked the Old Republic. And I think, you know, it's a fun universe to just like hang out in. So something like that would be cool too.
Yeah, all that stuff. First off, I've taken us off the course of what we're supposed to be discussing this episode, so I'll make this quick. But all that stuff sounds good for sure. But I do feel like the AAA big budget Star Wars game, like we are fairly reliably like we're getting those, right? Like we have there's that RTS game that's been announced too. There was the High Republic game that maybe is not going to happen because of, you know, the studio and stuff. But like it feels like, you know, they will make like multi-hundred million dollar Star Wars budget games. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But like, I'm just like, why can't we get some like, you know, why can't we get some smaller stuff too? Why can't we get some things that wouldn't take 5 years to develop and have to have some big epic story and, you know, everything else, right? Like there's just so many little genres and things that could be explored that I think would be fun. How about a Star Wars like point and click adventure game, like a modern version of something like that? That'd be cool too, you know? I don't know. This isn't really about looking forward to 2023 anymore. This is just speculating about like what we'd like to see in Star Wars video games. But it would be fun if some things surprised us as far as Star Wars video games go this year.
So. I mean, kind of on that note, something cool that happened last year was Konami had a press conference or a little like video and for the future of the Silent Hill series. Mm-hmm. And it was basically like, hey, we're remaking Silent Hill 2, this like mega popular game in the series. And then here's like four other games from like indie developers.
Yeah.
That are all part of Silent Hill.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know, completely different kind of genres and even like the budgets are like all over the place with those games. But yeah, I think something like that would be cool too. So
here's hoping, huh? Fingers crossed we can get some fun Star Wars video games on the horizon here. Maybe there's some smaller stuff that's in development we don't know about that could be announced and released in relatively short order, you know? Cause that's one of the things that would excite me about it too, is just like a Star Wars game that isn't necessarily a AAA, you know, huge game that takes years and years to develop, but something a little smaller that could happen a little more quickly. That'd be fun. But, you know, actually, Ryan, before we move on to the last couple things we have listed here, I should have put Indiana Jones in the show notes here somewhere, because we have Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny coming out this June. And I'm sure Indiana Jones will be fairly present at Star Wars Celebration as well. And there are Indiana Jones, there's a Bethesda Indiana Jones video game that's in development too. I don't think it's attached. Games. Yeah, probably not coming out in 2023. At least there's no reason to think that yet or to assume that, right? But
well, we may find out at the end of the month, there's a Microsoft Bethesda showcase video this month, which could may or may not shed some light on that. But I mean, it's something like that's definitely on my radar. I think Machine Games are an incredible developer. I loved their the first two Wolfenstein games that they did. Just really, really smart, smart writing, and like games that are very steeped in like old school game design, but with like, you know, modern touches. I'm really, really excited for that Indiana Jones game. Without knowing anything except that it's Indiana Jones and knowing the developer. But again, it is a AAA game, and you know, it seems like all like so many AAA games are announced with like, you know, that CG teaser, and then you don't hear anything about them for 3 years, and then it's like, actually 750 people left this project, and like it's being rebooted by like another developer. It'll be another 6 years probably, like
sure
just seems to be the case with so many of these huge games.
Maybe we'll get a little Indiana Jones you know, video game action happening this year. Certainly we're getting the movie, The Dial of Destiny. We talked about that fairly recently when we discussed the trailer, so you know, we don't have to get all into that again, but I'm excited for that movie coming out this summer as well. And, you know, there's a new toy line, a new Indiana Jones toy line coming out, a couple new toy lines actually from Hasbro this year.
Oh, really?
So yeah. There's a basically like a Black Series equivalent Indiana Jones line coming out. And there's also, I forget the name of the, oh man, the Star Wars toys, that the line that's like kind of for like toddlers or whatever, or maybe like 5-year-olds, you know, like they're like the play school style ones, you know what I'm talking about?
That are all like, they're all like squat.
Yeah. And they come, but they have vehicles and stuff. They changed the name of them recently. But it's a similar kind of thing. Anyway, they have a line like that, for Indiana Jones. Yeah, so I think the toy aisles are going to have some Indiana Jones.
Are toddlers into Indiana Jones?
Well, it's not toddlers. It's, you know, it's like 6-year-olds or whatever, I guess, 5-year-olds. But yeah, I mean, sure, why not, right? I mean, they have that stuff for everything. They have, you know, toys for Jurassic Park and for Avatar. Well, maybe not Avatar, I don't know. But anyway.
Oh, yeah, McFarlane Toys did the Way of Water.
Oh, okay. So that was not for children. That was... Right, just for, oh, you have them all back there. Cool. Okay. So that's just for adults then, pretty much, but, and teenagers, I guess. But anyway, yes, Indiana Jones will be back this summer, in expected ways, and probably some unexpected ways too. So that should be fun. All right, let's talk about, we have two more topics, things that are announced for Star Wars this year, at least, and then we'll come back and talk Mando. Ahsoka, Ryan, Ahsoka is releasing this year. They've either wrapped up filming or wrapping up any time. And I believe the show is scheduled to come out. I know the show is scheduled to come out in 2023. So where's your hype on that? How are you feeling about Ahsoka?
Ooh, it's complicated, isn't it? I mean, I think there's like a lot of like weird factors to this show. I mean, I think there's, you know, some pushback from people about, you know, it seems like it's continuing the Rebels story action. Some people wanted to see that continue animation. Whatever, I don't really care either way about that part. You know, there was some stuff with Rosario Dawson to like some like sketchy comments she had made in the past, and I don't know, like it's just kind of like a weird vibe. And I think also like just the whole like MCU Mandoification of the, like, the Mandoverse now, I think, is like a little weird too. So I don't really know. Like, this is just a, it's a show that, like, I just have like a weird vibe about. That's hard for me to be like super excited about. I think also there's the like, oh, here's Ahsoka in another thing now. That's, you know, kind of been, you know, running through, you know, Star Wars for the past, past few years, of, you know, that character just showing up in just about everything, which is fine. Like, she's a cool character. Like, I don't have any, like, problem with Ahsoka. I'm not, like, a massive fanatic, you know, a huge fan of the character or anything. She's just, like, a kind of, like, mid-tier Star Wars character for me, but, like, I like her well enough. So, yeah, I don't know. It's tricky, and I think on the Rosario Dawson thing too, like, I've had, you know, some, you know, hearing some things about, like, her as a person and stuff. It's just kind of, you know, it seems like she's kind of apologized for things, or like maybe some things didn't happen exactly in that way, but then like also it's like, well, there's a weird kind of cloud like hanging over her. But I recently, a couple weeks ago, watched Clerks 3, which is a movie I enjoyed quite a bit, and she is absolutely fantastic in that movie. Like, her performance is so good. So then I'm like, I don't know. She's kind of cool. Maybe she sucks. Maybe she's cool. I don't know. Yeah. But I don't know. It's a weird vibe for that show. So I don't really know how I feel about it. I wouldn't say like I'm like super hyped for it, but I'm not like writing it off either.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty excited. I think, we'll see. I mean, you know, Mandalorian season 3 will temper or, you know, strengthen my excitement for the show, probably. You know what I mean? Like, if I love Mandalorian season 3 and I feel like the Mandoverse or whatever you want to call it is really going strong, then I think I'll be excited for it. I mean, I am excited for it, but I think that'll make me more excited for it. My younger son Elliot and I are just finishing up our Rebels rewatch. We have about 3 episodes left in season 4, and I really, really love Rebels. And I know there's a lot of Rebels fans who are like, you know, not excited for this because they don't want to see Rebels continue in live action. As you mentioned, Ryan, they want to see it, you know, continue animated or whatever. And I understand that, but, you know, even if I would prefer an animated continuation, I would say I'm not necessarily chomping at the bit for a continuation, but they did leave that show pretty open-ended. Like, you know, it ended on with questions being posed that certainly seem like they are being posed because they're intending to answer them. Right. So, I guess it needs to be continued one way or another. I just love the show. Anyway, but, yeah, it's going to be weird. It will certainly be weird and challenging to see those characters in live action instead of animation, but I think it could be really great too. So we'll just have to see as far as all that goes. But, I do feel like there's more, I can understand why this show is happening a little more than I can say some other Mandalorian spinoff shows where I thought, I don't know if I necessarily need to see more of this character story or not. You know what I mean? But like with Ahsoka, I think, yeah, she pops up in everything. And yes, like it seems like that's Dave Filoni's, you know, character that he wants to include in everything. But like, what's wrong with that really, I guess? You know what I mean? Like, he co-created this character. He loves this character. And you know, feels like there's more story to tell with that character, like, okay, go for it, you know? And honestly, a lot of the stuff where we've been seeing her pop up in certain other things, it's like, yeah, I don't know, maybe she doesn't need to be in every project or whatever, but this is like going forward with her story and going forward with the story of the Rebels crew. And like, I think that we do need to go forward with that story, you know? Like, yeah, the creators intentionally left that show like, hey, there's more to tell. Like, Ezra's out there somewhere, you know, Ahsoka and Sabine are ready to go find him. Like, there's a story that needs to be explored there. So, you know, I'm pretty excited to see that. And I'm definitely excited to see more. And I'm sure that's something that we'll hear quite a bit more about at Star Wars Celebration Europe. So that'll be exciting one way or the other, you know what I mean? Just to learn more about that show and kind of find out more about what it is and see some more footage. And I think it's one of those things where, like, I hope I will enjoy, you know, watching the show, right? Like, but it's also one of those things where there's a lot of like really interesting, I feel like the lead up to the show is going to be really interesting and really fun. And there's a lot of things that they can talk about and reveal and show that will be an enjoyable, you know, kind of exciting process leading up to that show. Obviously we love Andor, right? But that show, I feel like there wasn't necessarily as much to parcel out as far as information goes, right? It was a serious, super well-written, super well-acted drama exploring these characters and their motivations. You know, you can tease it a little bit, but there's not as much there, you know, to be sensational about, right? But I feel like there's a lot we can be sensational about in leading up to this show, which that'll be fun.
Yeah, it's it'll be a different flavor. I mean, I think, like, you know, I think generally, I think Ahsoka is going to like no doubt deliver for you know, Dave, like hardcore Dave Filoni fans, I think, because like it's his, like, I mean, it's going to be pretty much like completely his vision for this. So I think, you know, for the people who are like, you know, super invested in like the Clone Wars and Rebels and stuff, I think it will, you know, I think people will be happy with it. But I think it's going to kind of live or die by like how strong this, you know, since they are doing, this is kind of like, it's, you know, it's playing two roles. Like, it's part of this Mandoverse thing, but it's also like following up something that came way before The Mandalorian, but also The Mandalorian is like continuing the story of stuff from the Clone Wars. And, you know, I think it's, I don't know, like, I guess it will be, you know, can this story get like too big and convoluted and like out of, you know, that it's, you know, maybe not as relatable or enjoyable, because like every episode is this like to go to like fandom to read like some article about like who's who and, you know, when kind of thing. I don't know, it's a weird thing to just like be in this like very like, it's, I mean, it is like the Marvel Cinematic Universe
now. Yeah,
and I don't,
well,
know.
I hear you. I hear you. I share some of those concerns or just those thoughts, I guess. But I was listening to another Star Wars podcast. One of my favorite Star Wars podcasts is called Force Center. I don't think that you've listened to that one, Ryan, or maybe just a little bit. But that's one of my favorite Star Wars podcasts. And they were talking about some of this stuff a couple weeks ago, I think. And the one thing that like came to mind right away as you were bringing this up is the idea of like what the Mandoverse is in terms of like Is it like, hey, they made a show called The Mandalorian and it's so successful that they're like, oh, let's spin this character off and let's spin that character off, et cetera. And it might be that, I don't know. But I think the way they were talking about the Mandoverse or whatever potentially being is the idea that like these two creators and the people they work with are have sort of gotten this like period of like Star Wars, you know, like from a couple of years after Return of the Jedi until, I don't know, 10 years, that whatever that window of time is. And they sort of are going to be exploring that, you know, kind of period of time, that window of time. And like, and all these shows that are connected to each other are going to be like kind of their Star Wars, right? Like this is like what we, like other people are going to make Star Wars in different periods of time, whatever. But like, we are really going to be the ones that are, you know, creating the Star Wars stories that are in this period of time. And then that's how you end up with like, I mean, yes, you have Mando and Grogu, but then you've also got Book of Boba Fett and you've got Ahsoka and you've got Luke Skywalker showing up and like all this, like, and it cause it, is it all building up to this big thing with Thrawn? And Kathleen Kennedy was talking years ago about how there's going to be this crossover event, et cetera. And that does all sound a lot like Marvel, right? Like that totally sounds like the MCU, which I'm not super into the MCU, et cetera. But I guess like, just trying to think of it from the perspective of the creative side of things. Is it like a thing where from the creator's point of view, it's like we made a show called Mando and everybody loves it. So like, let's spin it out into a bunch of different directions. Or is it sort of a thing where like Mandalorian, the show is the first thing that we presented to Star Wars fans, but the goal was always sort of to tell a bigger kind of story. And like each of these shows is just sort of a part of doing that. You know what I mean? Which again, I think that's like sort of what the phases of, I guess, Marvel are, right? But even within that though, I guess you've got Kevin Feige, right, who's overseeing everything. But you know, like within a phase of the Marvel thing, you've got, I don't know, quite a few different writers and directors working kind of independently from one another, right, who are making these different projects, and then they do kind of bring them all together. But I guess if like Dave and Jon Favreau are super involved in all of these shows, it's more like them kind of doing all this stuff together and sort of curating their little corner of Star Wars, I guess, you know. Which isn't ultimately that different, you know, but I guess like I guess I just hope that the goal is to kind of create this their sort of little corner of Star Wars and not like, oh, cool, I guess, like, what else could we do now? Like, you know, like, let's, oh, this character is in our show. Like, let's do a whole thing. Like, we don't really need to, but, you know, I guess, like, why not? Like, make, you know, whatever. So, and I think there is a lot riding on Ahsoka in that regard, too, because we just talked about it last week. There's some stuff in Book of Boba Fett that's really good, but ultimately, like, I probably walked away from Book of Boba Fett being like, that was a weird kind of... I don't know that we needed to take that side journey. You know what I mean? And if I walk away from Ahsoka feeling like, huh, that was a weird thing to do, then that kind of deflates the whole Mandoverse thing. Right. Also true of Mandalorian season 3, because like Mandalorian season 3 seems like it's going to be definitely have a bigger scope and, you know, really beginning into like Mandalorian politics and all that kind of stuff. So that's got to work too. You know what I mean? So that's what I mean. Like if these shows start to really work and or continue to really work or whatever you want to say, and like I'm really invested in this large story they're telling, then it's just going to get more and more exciting. But if all of the things that branch out from Mandalorian are feeling kind of like not awesome or not necessary or only kind of connected to Mandalorian, then it's going to feel kind of lame pretty fast, I guess, you know?
Yeah. And so I guess like I'm part of my trepidation is like I'm coming into, I guess, like Mando season 3 and Ahsoka being, you know, feeling pretty hit or miss about Mandalorian season 2. There's some stuff I liked there, some things I didn't like. I did not feel as strongly about season 2 as I did the first season. And then coming off Book of Boba Fett, like mostly negative, I would say, like leaning towards the negative side. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I guess that's kind of where I'm coming into these things. And, you know, like there's, it's like, there's a lot of potential for sure, but like they don't, neither Mando season three or Ahsoka feel like sure bets. Like I'm cautiously optimistic, but I mean, I went into Mando season two, like so hyped. Like I had no doubt in my mind that it was going to be amazing. And then like the end of the first episode, I was like, oh, huh. it wasn't really my favorite episode. And then like, it was kind of like hit or miss throughout the season. So yeah, I don't know. Like neither of these things feel like sure bets to me. But I mean, I hope I like them.
Well, let's wrap up this segment of the show before the big game starts and the big trailer releases by talking about what is surely in your mind a sure bet, Ryan. Skeleton Key, starring Jude Law and a bunch of kids in an Amblin-inspired journey across the Star Wars galaxy or something along those lines. We don't know much about Skeleton Key yet, but it is releasing, I'm fairly certain, as well in 2023. So what are the names of the, is it John Watts? I believe John Watts and then someone else who is involved in the Spider-Man movies. But I should have looked that up, but I thought you would, being the comic book guy, I thought you could just tell me right away, Ryan. Oh yeah, John Watts and his partner.
I don't know. You're more into these new Spider-Man movies than me too, so...
I don't know. We both were into the last one, weren't we?
You were into it more than I was.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. I was into it. We even did a bonus segment about that new Spider-Man movie. Yeah, it was great. So, well, anyway, we know so little about Skeleton Key. I just can say that
Skeleton Crew, right? It's Skeleton Crew.
You're right. Yes, you're right. You're right. Skeleton Crew. Skeleton Key sounds more like Knives Out 3, maybe, you know what I mean, or something. That would be more of a title for a mystery movie or something.
What band sings that song, Skeleton Key?
I don't know. Cloak and Dagger, maybe. I don't know.
Ink and Dagger, New Jersey vampire hardcore band.
Well, anyway, Skeleton Crew, the show coming out soon.
Oh, okay. Funny thing. You'll know this.
Yeah.
A band that has a song called Skeleton Key is Margo and the Nuclear So-and-Sos play in Rockford, Illinois.
They do?
Yeah.
No, they don't.
That band has totally played in Rockford.
Oh, has played in Rockford. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Okay. I didn't know that. I thought you were saying like they play here all the time or like they're like known for being a Rockford band or something. I'm like,
No. I just know they've played in Rockford.
Okay. All right. Ryan, anyway. Skeleton yeah. Crew. I don't know very much yeah. about it, but I no love the does. Idea. No one does, but I love the idea. So I'm actually really, really, looking forward to that. And again, I want to find out more about it. But you know, I think Celebration Europe, we're going to learn more about Ahsoka for sure. I think we'll learn a little less about Skeleton Key, but I think we'll get, you know, our first Skeleton Crew. Skeleton Crew. I think we'll get our first real look at Skeleton Crew at Celebration. So I'm really excited for that.
Yeah. One more project, which weirdly isn't on the list, but I believe is releasing in 2023, is The Acolyte.
No, that's not releasing in 2023.
It's not?
No.
Oh, I thought it was.
No. I would be more excited for that probably than anything on the list, but it's not coming out in 2023.
Yeah. Okay. I thought because they had already started principal photography.
That's true. They did. Yes.
But it's not a 2023 thing?
No. I would love to be wrong, but no, I don't think so. Like, yeah, I mean, like Ahsoka, for instance, was filming when we were at Celebration in California in, May? And
yeah,
it's not true. Coming out until
they had footage.
And I don't think it's coming out until late 2023, you know?
Yeah.
And I think Acolyte will be filming until probably midway through the year, I would guess, or something like that. And then sometime in 2024, I think it's coming out.
But Skeleton Crew is...
Skeleton Crew is coming out in 2023, at least as of now, I believe. Yes.
Okay, so I'm seeing that...
They
the
are
was scheduled to last until December 2022. Okay.
Of Skeleton Crew?
It's been filmed.
Yeah, I think it did go longer than that. I think it just maybe is finishing up now, but I think they can still release it in 2023. And, you know, I mean, like, if they really wanted to get Acolyte out in 2023, I'm sure they could get, you know, at least some of it out in 2023 or whatever. Like, part of it is how much time do they need to make these shows? And then part of it is like, they don't want to release them all at the same time. Right. So I think the plan is to put that show out in 2024. And like, honestly, I don't know when to expect Ahsoka, but I would assume like, I assume Ahsoka and Skeleton Key are both in for sure. The second half of the Skeleton Crew, are for sure in the second half of 2023. I would say even like fall at the earliest for either of those shows. So
okay,
that's my guess.
Also, because Skeleton Crew takes place at during the same time period as like Mandalorian.
It does. So yeah.
Is that also going to be in this web of?
That's a good point, actually, because. That is a good point, because I think Dave and John are like loosely involved with it, but it's not like the rest of the shows in that time period where they, I think they have to be kind of involved in it because it's in their little corner of Star Wars. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But so it doesn't
like necessarily contradict.
Yeah. But it doesn't feel like it wasn't their idea. You know what I mean? It's not something that they're overseeing and writing and, you know, actively super involved in like the rest of those shows. So as far as I know. Yeah. But yeah, we'll see. I mean, I'm really, really curious. It's going to be brilliant. I mean, that's one of the things that Mandalorian season 3, which we'll talk about after the big game starts. That's one of the things that I'm sure going to have more insight on by the time this season is over is like, where is this story headed? You know, how big is this story going to get? How epic, how big, how long, etc. You know what I mean? So I feel like this whole part of the Star Wars timeline and universe and whatever we could be exploring this for 3, 4, 5 more years. Who knows how long, you know what I mean? So there could be a lot of different branches and whatever. I mean, is Ahsoka a one season show or is it multi-seasons? You know what I mean? How many more seasons of Mandalorian are planned? Are there other shows involving characters from this period of time that they're planning on doing? Because there was Rangers of the New Republic, which they're not doing anymore, but they were, you know what I mean? So how big is it going to get? How big will the scope be? How, et cetera, you know? I feel like there is a little fatigue with this whole like big universe type stuff, you know what I mean? And specifically like with some of the Disney Plus shows and different movies and stuff, you know, like a lot of the Marvel shows have been, I think, well received and very successful in Disney Plus. But I do think like lately it feels like for somebody who's not super into this stuff and super connected to it, I do feel like I hear more and more that it's feeling a little like too much for people, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I mean, you know, we used to be like a total day one, everything MCU household. We would, you know, see every movie, you know, Thursday nights, we would, we were watching the shows as they came out and that like, you know, that sort of like started slipping to like, oh, we'll see the movie next weekend, or we'll see it eventually, and then like, oh, we'll watch this next episode. I don't really feel like watching it tonight. Like, we'll watch it later. And then that it eventually just led to like us just kind of phasing out of it. And I mean, the only MCU thing I've watched in months was the Werewolf by Night. I guess short. I mean, it was like 45 minutes long, which was awesome, by the way. Yeah. But like, I think
directed by Michael Giacchino, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amazing. Amazing dude who composed the music for Gargoyles on Sega Genesis. And the cartoon.
I thought you were going to say Rogue One, but yeah. Okay, cool.
Also that. Yeah.
Yeah.
great score, by the way. But yeah, I think there is like that very, I am sure that like we are not the only ones who have kind of like faded out from the, like where it felt like you had to, it was like must see, like you had to see the new MCU movie because everyone's going to be talking about it. And oh my God, the post-credit sequence, like all of that. And like, I don't know, like that has kind of like chilled a bit. It's probably Martin Scorsese's fault. You know, I mean, there is inevitably going to be exhaustion and backlash. And I mean, that's, we kind of saw it with Book of Boba Fett, even to some degree. I think, you know, some people did bail on that. And I think that's when you expect that of your audience. I think there's that fatigue could cause people just to drop off or just watch the main thing.
Yeah.
Which is just the main,
right.
I'm sure a lot of people will just do.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, like Book of Boba Fett came out when Mandalorian, I think, would have otherwise come out sort of like a year after, or maybe 6 months, after, 7 months, 8 months after Mando season two or something like that, you know? I don't know. But, you know, I think because part of it is like, do I really want to follow a story like all these different characters and all their own series and stuff like that? I think that's part of it. But then the other part of it, I think, too, is like the frequency with which the projects release, you know? So like we were just talking about, maybe we're going to get Ahsoka and Skeleton Key both in like the fall, winter of this year. And that might be a lot.
Skeleton Crew.
What did I say?
You said Skeleton Key again.
Well, whatever. That's what it's called now. But anyway, like, okay. I think it could, you know, that could feel like a lot to people. You know what I mean? I don't know. So I think that's part of it, too. It's not just like, oh, do we keep making new stuff about like in this timeline with these characters, but also like how frequent are the releases and, you know, that kind of stuff, too. So
that's what I think felt really cool about last year for Star Wars is like you had Book of Boba Fett and we're like, OK, we're still on this Mando train. Mm-hmm. Like this is all happening. And then it's like, hey, here's Obi-Wan. And then like, here's Andor.
Yeah.
And like in, I don't know. I think that I enjoyed that where like you had these things that were kind of, you know, in their own parts of the galaxy. And that's why I think like I was really hoping for Acolyte this year, because that's like such a, it's a completely different vibe. It's a completely different like era. You know, it's, you know, going to be like a bunch of Jedi and Sith as opposed to like, you know, gunslingers and like one or like a few Jedi in kind of the Mandoverse. I don't know, but I think like it's going to be kind of like a test of how strong the bigger story in this like era between Return of the Jedi and Force Awakens, like how strong is the story there, because that's pretty much all the Star Wars that we know of that we're getting in 2023 is all set in this time period. So
That's a good point. Yeah, last year was great. It was like we had three big Star Wars shows, but they were, you know, all kind of separate from one another, and they were a few months apart. And so we weren't going like a year between, like I think the year before we had to wait almost a full year, you know, from one Star Wars show to the next, live action anyways. And so it was a good pace in terms of like, I felt like there was always something to look forward to in 2023 as far as new Star Wars television goes. But yeah, it wasn't exhausting, like, you know, trying to keep up with like this stuff. They were all pretty self-contained, as you said. So that was like, that was really nice actually. Yeah. So yeah, this will be a little bit of a test. We'll see. I think Skeleton Crew is going to feel pretty different tonally. So that might help. You know what I mean? Yeah. Even if it's set in the same kind of period there or whatever. And maybe Ahsoka will too. We'll see. We'll see what Ahsoka's like. But you know what, Ryan? I think we should here take our break and come back in a little while and talk about Mandalorian season 3. Which really, in a lot of ways, has been kind of dominating our conversation tonight on this look forward to 2023. A lot of it has been all kind of coming back to Mandalorian season 3. So pretty excited to find out if we're going to get some meaty new material here in this trailer for the third season.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, cool. So we'll take a break. We'll be back in a little bit.
Our people are scattered like stars in the galaxy. What are we? What do we stand for? Being a Mandalorian is not just learning about how to fight. You also have to know how to navigate the galaxy. That way, you'll never be lost. To Mandalore, so that I may be forgiven for my transgressions.
May the Force be with you!
This is the way.
There's something dangerous happening out there, and by the time it becomes big enough for you to act, it'll be too late.
Hang on, kid.
Okay, Ryan, we are back. We have just watched the Mandalorian season 3 trailer and one half of one hell of a football game. So let's go.
Anyone's ball game right now. I don't know which team's going to win.
Yeah, or which teams are playing. But okay, let's talk about this season 3 Mandalorian trailer, Ryan. I kind of want to go through it a little bit and look at some of the key moments. But what are your overall takeaway? Did it hype you up? Are you excited? Did you enjoy it? What's up, Ryan?
It was fine. I mean, honestly, it was like a bunch of footage we've already seen. And then saying this is the way twice in a minute and 45 seconds. And,
okay. I should have let off, 'cause I thought this trailer whipped ass. I thought it was awesome. I thought it was really fun.
That's fine. I mean, whatever.
Okay. Yeah. Wow, man. Come on. We saw some Jedi in the trailer. That was crazy. I hadn't seen that before. I saw a doctor, whatever his name is.
Jedi before?
No, first time. I saw a doctor, whatever his name is, in a speeder in Coruscant. Like, that was cool.
Yeah, looking extremely green screened.
Well, I do think some of the special effects. Yeah, there was a few special effects that looked slightly less than finished, I would say.
Yeah.
I hope anyways, because there's a couple shots that looked pretty rough. Like the N1 Starfighter landing at one point didn't look really that great. The doctor on Coruscant looked pretty rough. And then also that last shot of Grogu when he did the force push thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was the special effects or if it was like the camera movement. And I don't even know if it really was camera movement or if that was like an editing thing, but like it kind of pushed in on Grogu and it didn't look very good either.
It was like the way it was cut. That was like really weird. I thought like, I don't know if that was supposed to like be funny or like what they were going for with that.
Well, I almost wonder, and I think this is wishful thinking, but I almost wonder if that was like something they did for the trailer. Like, cause it almost seemed like it was not an actual camera movement or a camera zoom, mm-hmm. but almost like in the editing software, they just like zoomed in, you know what I'm saying? Or something. Yeah. But like I said, I mean, that's probably the final shot and I'm just like, you know, whatever, but maybe in context, it'll look better.
Yeah.
Or maybe not. But okay, well let's go through it, Ryan. I mm-hmm. mean, we won't spend like a ton of time maybe going through it. I'll try not to, because we don't want to sort of talk about like our anticipation for the show, etc. But let's just go through it like a little bit at least. So a couple lines of dialogue here that may give us some insight into what the show's about. It opens up with Din saying, "Our people are scattered like stars in the galaxy or stars in the sky." And then he asks, "Who are we and what do we stand for?" And comes out of a cave. And my son Elliot was like, "Whoa, is he like in charge of the Mandalorians now?" Which mm-hmm. I don't know. He might be. People who know Mandalorian history and helmets better could probably tell me why the two there have those like white kind of Star Wars Rebels looking helmets. Like they're probably part of a different sect or group or something, but those look pretty cool. You know what I'm talking about?
I mean, there were like some different looking Mandalorians there. I think it probably is like the different factions and stuff. It's weird though, like with all this Mandalorian stuff here at the beginning, we didn't see Bo-Katan at all in this trailer, and she was in like she seemed to be like a huge part of the last trailer.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point, actually. Yeah. Maybe this is the Monday Night Football trailer. Maybe this one's maybe like trying to be more general audience. You know what I mean?
Men. It's more for men.
Well, like, we're just not nerds. Like, I don't know. Like the previous trailer was from Star Wars Celebration, kind of. And then they just sort of dropped it on YouTube or whatever, which, hey, YouTube is for everyone, right? Like everybody uses YouTube. So it's not like it's some niche platform or something. But I'm just saying that like, that was, I also think like when you get, now they're in the 6 week push. And I remember this from other Star Wars projects and TV shows and stuff. Like once you get to the 6 week mark or the 4 week mark or something like that, that's when like the PR like push is like consistent. Like we'll start to see magazine interviews and TV interviews and like different stories and stuff popping up in different online outlets. And they'll be like pushing it from here until when the show comes out.
30 second TV spots with like 3 seconds of new footage each time.
That'll be part of it too. Yeah. And so I think like when you get to that state, that's when they're marketing to everybody. Mm-hmm. When you're 6 months out, I think you're marketing to like the hardcore and the faithful, you know, people who, like, I feel like normal people don't really want to like start thinking about a show they're going to watch 6 months ahead of time. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But somebody who's like real deep into it, then, you know, obviously we do. So
yeah, I would just imagine that she was going to be like a central part of the story.
Well, she might be, but I think she probably will be, actually. In fact, I'm sure she will be, but I just don't know if like that's easy to convey to. I mean, it's not like I'm like, oh, no way would I put Bo-Katan in the trailer for normies, you know? I mean, why not? But I'm just trying to understand, or, you know, maybe make some sense of the fact of why she's not in it. And that seems like one possible reason, but.
Yeah.
Or maybe they cut her. Maybe she's out. I'm kidding. Yeah, I'm kidding. There's very little, like, they don't really show villains at all in this, you know? And I think she might be kind of a villain, an antagonist, so. Maybe that's part of it too.
Yeah.
Yeah. From there, we see a lot of sweet N1 starfighter footage in the trailer, but we see some N1 starfighter footage, and the next line says, "Being a Mandalorian's not just learning about how to fight." Specifically with Grogu looking around in awe and wonder, and Din says, "You also have to know how to navigate the galaxy." And at that point, Grogu's in his lap. It's very cute. They're kind of holding hands a little bit, and cruising through hyperspace there. So, hey, it's not just about learning how to fight. You also have to know how to navigate the galaxy.
Yeah, that way you'll He's gonna never be lost.
Yeah, that way you'll never be lost. That's exactly right. Then we get some Kowakian monkey lizards. I'm offended by the YouTube caption here. It says tree lizard. It's referring to the Kowakian monkey lizard as a tree lizard. I don't think so.
Yeah, and it was capitalized too.
Oh, yeah.
So it's okay. A proper noun in the subtitles. Yeah. So that's canon now.
Hey, have you ever wanted to see the N1 Starfighter in the rain? Because there's some cool shots of the N1 Starfighter in the rain here. Mm. We see the armorer again, and Din tells her, "I'm going to Mandalore." Grogu makes a noise, but he says, "I'm going to Mandalore, so I may be forgiven for my transgressions." I think that line was in the previous trailer, right?
Yeah, and that shot of men, like the burned out city.
Yeah. Another funny moment for me, because I was watching this. I watched it by myself. Like, I actually, it was well timed on my part, because I was watching Monday Night Raw, as I said I would be. Mm-hmm. And then I kept like looking on my phone to see like how much time was left in the game until halftime or whatever. And I saw that it was halftime, so I switched over, and a commercial ended. They came back from commercial and they immediately showed the trailer. So like, wow. I flipped over to, you would need cable. I think it was on ESPN2, but I flipped over for the first time all night, maybe 10 seconds before the trailer started. So the Perfect. Force was with me on that one. Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, so I watched it once by myself, and then I watched it with my wife and my kids. And when we got to that part, I was like, "Oh, that's Mandalore." And Elliot's like, "I thought Mandalore was destroyed." But like, look at that shot. It's like, yeah, it's... clearly it's destroyed. So, I don't know. That was interesting. but yeah, cool shot. Nothing new. Yeah. We do have, this is new though. There's a, Din. It looks like Din is getting an astromech droid for the, you don't care about that? What? I just dropped a major bombshell, Ryan. Din is getting a astromech droid, an astromech droid.
He's not droid racist anymore.
No, that was the big reveal at the end of season one, I think.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. With IG-11.
Yeah,
he loved that.
Is that an R5 droid? Is that what that is? An R5 droid? These are the things you're supposed to know if you have a Star Wars podcast. I don't even know if you're allowed to have a Star Wars podcast if you don't know that. I think it's an R5 droid.
Yeah.
Pelimoto, may the force be with you. Great line. I've heard that one before.
Fireworks.
This is the way. Fireworks. I like that shot of the fireworks. I want to know what that's about.
It's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
I thought that shot was cool. And I can't tell what city that is or like what planet that is. I don't know. But it's, I like that shot.
Yeah.
I like that idea. Some space fireworks. And then we get a little quote from Carson Teva that, and this was maybe like the standout line in the trailer for me. Carson Teva says, "There's something dangerous happening out there. And by the time it becomes big enough for you to act, it will be too late." Whoa. Mm-hmm. What do you think that might be referencing, Ryan? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Snoke. I don't know.
well,
the First Order.
Yeah, no, that's what I think actually.
Yeah. No, I mean, but like how I think it's like, cause I think we're still too far away from that. Probably. It's probably like, I don't know. Is it like Thrawn? Thrawn's thing?
Oh, I guess it could be Thrawn. I don't know. I'm going to say the First Order. I think like not the First Order as it exists in the sequel trilogy, but you know, some component of it, because like it was being developed for a long time before they like revealed themselves or whatever, right?
I'd have to go back to like, what was that?
Aftermath.
Bloodline and Aftermath. Like,
and yeah.
I don't know. Does that all kind of like change with the Rise of Skywalker, knowing that it's like Palpatine and the Final Order and stuff? Like, is that part of everything now?
I don't think so, because the First Order was a contingency plan of Palpatine anyways, right? So it's like, I mean, I guess it, maybe it kind of changes in the sense that like you think the First Order is the end all be all, but there's actually like another component to the First Order, like waiting in the wings or whatever. But I don't think it would like change it otherwise, you know. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, because like I don't know. Well, I guess it'll be interesting to see what that is. I just feel like, you know, they defeated the Empire. Carson Teva is a representative of the Republic, right? And like the so threat to the Republic
has an ear to the ground. Like, he knows some things.
Yeah. And just like, I just feel like there can't be some other big threat to the Republic besides the First Order. I mean, even if it's Thrawn would be like a remnant of the Empire. And like, that's what the First Order is like a remnant, or, you know, like the survivors of the, I mean, the First Order is just an extension of the Empire, right? Like, really. So,
yeah.
Whether it would be called the First Order or not, I would feel like Carson Teva would be warning about, you know, Imperial forces or survivors or something like that.
Yeah. So, okay. So now, like, I'm trying to, like, actually think of, like, I kind of have, like, a feel for the plot, which we've known this stuff since, you know, the celebration reveal, but so Din is going to Mandalore for the first time. He's never been there. He's going there. Mandalore is destroyed. He's talking to other like scattered Mandalorians about like our people are scattered, aimless, whatever. Is his goal to like reestablish a Mandalorian society on Mandalore? Is that?
I don't know. I doubt that he would be trying to lead that necessarily. But
that seems to be what this is implying, though.
I don't know. Because it also just says like he tells the armorer, "I'm going back there to like make up for what I did or to be purified or whatever." Like, mm-hmm. She's like, "You're Mandalorian no more," you know?
Right.
In the previous season or in Book of Boba Fett or whenever was. And so,
So
I think his goal is to be accepted back into the fold. I don't think at this point he would be like, "Not only am I a Mandalorian, I want to be the leader of the Mandalorians." You know what I mean? And he even tried to give, he doesn't have the Darksaber anymore, does he?
No.
Does he have it or not?
Doesn't
Bo-Katan have it?
I don't remember.
Dude, we cannot have a Star Wars podcast. Somebody needs to take this away from us. Yeah. Google that, Ryan. Who's got it? Who's got the Darksaber? I know he tried to give it to her. No. He had it in Book of Boba Fett. Remember, he pulled it out and like the Diesel. John Favreau tried to duel him for it, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh boy. All right. Well, anyway, I don't think he thinks he's going to be the leader of Mandalore. That's what I'm saying.
It's just weird. Cause like this, like that stuff all kind of like made sense in the previous preview. But then like this one just opens with like our people are scattered. And then he's like hanging out with all these like weird Mandalorians.
Yeah, but there's like five of them and they came out of a cave. You know what I mean? I think like even like in season one, they're like, well, we used to be proud and now we have to like basically hide underground, you know? Mm-hmm. So to me that tracks, like, because they still don't seem like they're, I mean, they seem like they're out in the middle of nowhere, a handful of them. That's yeah. not, you know, compared to Mandalore, the planet, like teeming with Mandalorians and, you know, them being one of the most powerful sort of, I guess, groups in the galaxy. And now they're like, mm-hmm. cool, I guess it's safe to pop our head out of this cave right now. And, you know, like there's a whole four or five of us here. I don't know. It's not like some impressive thing, you know?
But like, is he like seeking them out though? That's more of what I'm thinking. Like, or did he just like, oh, funny meeting you guys here. I was also in this cave.
Yeah, I don't know. Cause like, if he's trying to go to like, who knows what his journey is to get to Mandalore or who he's got to talk to, or if he's, you know, yeah, I don't know. It's a good question, but I mean, he probably won't just hop in the N1 starfighter and just fly straight there. Or, you know, I mean, there's probably some, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Can you just find Mandalore? Like, can you just like go there? Or is there going to be like some, you know, some like secret to finding it or something?
I would think that you could. I mean, people knew where it was before. I don't think it was any secret, you know, like in Rebels, they just go there, no problem, right? Like, so yeah, I don't think it's not like Exegol, where you have to have the Wayfinder.
You gotta have that Wayfinder, yeah.
Yeah.
Or like Kamino or something. I don't know if it's like...
Right.
Because, yeah, like the... it's just, I don't know. I mean, this is a trailer. Like, it's not supposed to tell us how everything happens, but it's just... Like, does he just be like, okay, all right, time to go. Like, I packed my snacks. Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
it'll just.
And who's there? When he gets there, who's there on Mandalore? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, is there somebody who's going to try to stop him from doing whatever he wants to do when he gets there? And also, like, what's the deal with Bo-Katan? Because even if those Mandalorians are with him, I feel like I don't know that they're all going to be with him or that they're all going to, you know what I mean? Like, so there's probably going to be some conflict there too. Yeah, I don't know. But you know, back to the line about Carson Teva warning him like that there's something evil out there. What was it? Something dangerous. And that it's going to be too big to do anything about it once, you know, people recognize it or whatever the line was. That is like part of one of the things we see as that line is being delivered or placed in the trailer is the clone doctor in the speeder in Coruscant. So, you know, I mean, there may be a correlation there too, right? Like First Order, cloning, Snoke and Advat, you know, I'm not saying like we're going to see Snoke or like the Snoke thing, but like that all, I mean, that's one thing that's going on in both The Mandalorian and in Bad Batch is some... like they're, you know, dropping in additional information about that whole process. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think, you know, even there was talk after season one or before season one about how, well, yeah, this show may reveal a little bit about the development of the First Order or whatever. So I think that all kind of seems, I mean, I don't know if it's going to be like a major focus, but, or like a huge component, but, it seems like the, yeah. Like it could be going in that direction.
A little bit of dark science cloning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Secrets only the Sith knew. I'd be into that.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. What else? Then we see Din lifting this like ancient, Mandalorian helmet out of the sand or the dirt or whatever. That looks pretty cool. And then one of the most surprising shots, or actually I'm not going to say one of the most surprising shots, hands down by far the most surprising shot of the trailer is a group of Jedi with their lightsabers drawn in a temple, in a Jedi temple, heading towards a door. What's happening with that door? Is that door being like cut open? Like somebody's forcing their way into the temple. Are we thinking that's Order 66 or like what's going on there?
Yeah. I mean, I like... this wasn't really surprising to me. I feel like this is some, I don't know, like, cause there's this shot of like Grogu looking introspective, and then it cuts to like this shot of like Jedi in action in a Jedi temple. Like, I assume that's like Grogu's Order 66 moment.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. But like going into a Mandalorian trailer, I did not expect to see Jedi in it. You know what I mean? I don't know. We've never seen Jedi in the Mandalorian before, have we?
Did you see the last episode of season two in that episode?
Yeah.
Those episodes of Book of Boba Fett?
Yeah, and, okay. Luke Skywalker in the current timeline. Ahsoka is Jedi no more or whatever. I don't know what she said. I am no Jedi. Yes. Okay. But what I'm saying is like, we've never seen like the Jedi, like the organization, the Jedi Order. Like I wouldn't have expected to see a group of Jedi, you know?
I think it's all like intrinsically tied now after we got like Grogu's origin story from Ahsoka.
I
feel like it's just kind of part of it now. So it, yeah, I don't know. Unless it's like something like way different and like that's like a swerve of some sort. That just seems like what it is to me.
No. I think that totally makes sense. Very logical. But I still, for me, like I was like a holy shit moment. Like, whoa, I did not expect to see Jedi in the trailer, you know? But yeah, I mean, you can tell right away that it's not like current timeline, you know, it's definitely in the past.
It's like foggy, so, kind of. Yeah.
Well, and just like the look, like the costumes and like the look of the temple and everything, that's like not post Empire. That's definitely prequel era for sure. So,
yeah.
Or it could be older than prequel era, but yeah, I'm sure it's Order 66. That's a good point. Good point.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, sold the Jedi. I was pretty hyped on the Jedi. Got some TIE fighters chasing.
You were hyped on those. What did we call them like a couple of years ago?
Jedi dance.
Because they're totally Jedi dance. Jedi dance. They're like the red shirts of Jedi.
Yep. Jedi dance.
Jedi dance. Yeah.
And is this, I think this is Din being chased here. Although I'm not positive because it's like, it might not actually, I think that might be Bo-Katan's ship. Now that I say that, it's not the M1 Starfighter. I'm pretty sure it's not the M1 Starfighter.
It's like wider.
Is that Bo-Katan's ship? I forget what her ship looks like, but I think that could be it. Oh, there we get another good shot of it too. I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't even know if Din has the Darksaber or not, so I probably am not going to identify this, what kind of ship this is.
Is Bo-Katan still alive at this point? Is she even, like, in this show? Did we just imagine that?
Yeah, I don't know. Hard to say. Yeah. Cool to see, though. Check this shot out, like, in the bar with all the droids. It's like a droid bar. Mm-hmm. Take that, like, Wuru or whatever that bartender's name is in a new hope. You know, they have to stay outside. We don't serve their kind here. Mm-hmm. Was his name like Waru or it starts with a W, but anyway, this is like his nightmare because it's all droids in this place. That's it. And it's cool to see astromech droids and B1 battle droids and, kind of looks like that Ralph McQuarrie C-3PO concept style droid over there. And yeah, just a lot of different types of droids mixing it up in this droid bar. It's kind of fun.
Yeah.
All getting like scandalous droids. Oil baths in there or whatever.
Battle droids at like a table at a bar is just kind of great imagery.
Right.
I mean, this is probably my favorite shot from the trailer, I guess. It's just silly and fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, also kind of like really, going hard on like the, on droid racist.
Yeah.
Like who's running the place now.
Right. And then we get the cool footage of the Mandalorians dropping out of the ship into the city, into the battle. Yep. This is the city or planet where the Quakian monkey lizards were. see a bunch of them together there. Is that Heavy, the Heavy guy, like the one that they had the Best Buy, John Favreau? Is that the one that he was mad at in Book of Boba Fett? I think it might be. Can't tell for sure. Pretty sweet scene. We get two Babu Fricks. Mm-hmm. They're actually called Anzellans, I guess. Anzellans, mm-hmm. but the Babu Frick species. So that is cool. Mm-hmm. And then the final segment of the trailer is this shot of this space werewolf. We already have a space werewolf in Star Wars, so I guess it's not that. But whatever this thing is, it looks kind of like a space werewolf threatening Grogu. And then Grogu sends him flying. And there's that really awkward camera movement as it is revealed that it was Grogu using the Force and sending that dude flying.
Yeah. And another, this is the way, just like, well, you can't, there for fun.
Yeah. Can't have too many of those. Grogu looks altogether weird in this shot. Like he looks high as hell. His ears are super back. Like he looks weird.
It's like, we have to give one of my cats daily medicine so she doesn't throw up. And she kind of makes this face after we give her the medicine.
He's even got his hand in perfect position to Photoshop in like a big blunt or something there. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to do that. I'm way too sophisticated to do something like that. But I'm just saying.
It'll happen.
Yeah.
With or without you. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's it.
All right. That is it. So, so that's the trailer. Does it provide us a little more insight into where the season is going? I don't know.
Not really.
Not too much. Not too much. I think the stuff with the clone doctor is pretty intriguing. I think Carson Teva saying like, there's something super dangerous on the horizon. And by the time you take it seriously or do something about it, it's going to be too late. I think that's pretty interesting. I popped for the Jedi dance, but I guess like we already decided that's not really significant. But yeah, I guess it doesn't provide too much new in terms of like the direction the show is going in overall. But kind of doubles down on a lot of what we had seen in the previous trailer and in the celebration footage. So. Why don't we kind of, wrap up the show here by sort of discussing our anticipation level for the show and like what we'd like to see from Mandalorian season 3.
I don't think this really moved the needle for me. It maybe actually like kind of pushed the needle a little bit backwards. I think like what I was most intrigued about is not like the Mandalore stuff in like a general sense. I think honestly it's like the Bo-Katan stuff. I think she is, a pretty compelling character in the context of The Mandalorian, and she's in like a very weird position. You kind of like talked about her as like a villain character and like maybe, but I think like she'll be like an antagonist that we can empathize with. I don't think she'll be like a goofy like mustache twirling like conventional bad guy, because like I think she has some like valid reasoning. So I think it was like kind of, that was what I found most compelling about the footage we had seen from Celebration. And it was kind of a bummer that that like wasn't really part of this this trailer. So yeah, I don't know. This trailer seemed more like a tone piece rather than like actually anything about like the plot or the drama. So Yeah, it didn't really do much for me. I mean, I'm still like open-minded for what the show's going to be, and I think we'll see something more substantial as it gets closer, or like, who cares? Like, we can just, if we don't, like, we'll just watch the show and let the actual work speak for itself rather than the marketing.
Yeah, I was just thinking, you know, in the past, these shows have leaned very, very, or these trailers have leaned very, very heavily into footage from just the first few episodes. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if that's going to be the case this time around. It seems like there's, to me, it seems like there's some kind of pretty big moments in this trailer and some big conflicts and stuff, like, you know, namely the battle on the planet with the Quakian monkey lizards and the Mandalorians dropping out of the ship and all that stuff. You know, that seems like not the kind of thing you'd see in the first few episodes of the show, but of the season. But yeah, I mean, this could totally mainly be from the first few episodes. I'm sure if nothing else, it's probably from the first half of the season, you know? Mm-hmm. And Mandalorian is only 8 episodes. At least the first two seasons are only 8 episodes, you know? So, I mean, I guess Obi-Wan Kenobi was only 6, but, you know, Andor was 12 and Bad Batch is like, you know, 16 or whatever. I don't know. Like when I went to, I'm on episode 7 of season 1. I'm rewatching. Too bad I haven't watched a little more. I'd know what the hell is going on with the Darksaber. But yeah, I'm on episode 7 of the first season. So I got to watch that 2-part finale or whatever you want to call it. And then move on to season 2. But I was like, when I started watching again, I was really struck by how, like, it doesn't take very long to rewatch a whole season of The Mandalorian, you know, because it's only 8 episodes. It's like watching a couple movies and you're done. It's probably, I don't know, six hours maybe. I can't remember for sure, but yeah, it's not a ton. So anyway, yeah, like they usually like to hold back most of what's in the later episodes. So mm-hmm. I'm going to guess that a lot of this is from early in the season. And, you know, that means we don't really know what to expect as it goes on.
Yeah, yeah. I think, like, especially for season 2, because there were, you know, so many, I guess, like, bombshells within season 2 that were, like, not even hinted at in the trailers. And that's where I was kind of saying, like, I'm not going to gauge my interest in this season, like, solely based on the marketing, because the pre-season marketing, I guess. Because that's not at all representative of what the show is. I mean, even with, you know, even with the first season, like what we saw before episode 1 was not, like, we could not have possibly expected what the show would be, because we hadn't seen Grogu. I'm basing my interest off of, like, you know, the threads that were left hanging from the previous seasons and Book of Boba Fett, and then, you know, the previous footage we had seen, which, you know, it happened to include, like, the Bo-Katan stuff. So
So Snoke will probably be in this season, but, you know, we'll have no way of knowing from watching this trailer. Pretty much sums up what you were saying there. Did I talk about whether I'm excited or not? I'm excited.
Shocking.
Yeah, I'm into it. I'm looking forward to it. I totally agree. Like, it doesn't really give us anything new in terms of, you know, meaty content that will, you know, kind of give us more insight into what we can expect. But mm-hmm. I am pretty compelled by the Carson Teva line. I keep going back to it, but that's really interesting to me. I love to see Din and Grogu together. I am still a little, they have to win me over with, like, why did we resolve the Din Grogu separation thing so quickly, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm a little, yeah, I'm just curious to see like, why was that the choice? You know, that didn't seem like necessarily the best way to create drama. So I'm curious to see, you know, if watching this season will kind of answer that question for me, if it'll just be like, well, that was the choice, you know, but yeah, the Carson Tava thing. And, yeah, I mean, like I said, there's a few shots in there that I think didn't look great special effects wise. So we'll see if that's like, you know, they're not finished shots, or they're going to kind of, what's the verb?
Fix it in post.
Yeah. Polish. I'm looking for the word polish. If they're going to give it a little polish, you know, polish it up a little bit. But yeah, overall I'm pretty excited for sure.
Yeah. I think like with those, in regards to those shots, I think that is just like a consistent thing that they're, I would say like most of the live action Star Wars Disney Plus stuff has like looked like pretty good. You know, there's, you know, been higher and lower points in it, but I would say like across the board, like the ships flying, taking off, landing they really don't look any better than like ships in Attack of the Clones 20 plus years ago. Like, you know, I was, you know, I saw that scene with like the Doctor, and I was like, yeah, this pretty much looks like Anakin and Obi-Wan in Coruscant flying in that speeder, like, and being like very obviously like green screened. Like, it doesn't really look drastically better.
Hey, maybe it's intentional. Maybe it was like an homage to Attack of the Clones. They were like, hey, we're going to do a very Attack of the Clones-esque scene, and we're going to try to capture the look of Attack of the Clones.
If someone involved in production says that out loud, I would pop and like, totally forgive it.
Okay.
Like, that would win me over. Like, someone just needs to be like, hey, we're going for an Attack of the Clones vibe. I'd be like, yeah, all right, yeah, you rascals. Gotcha.
What if nobody says anything, but during that scene, there's like a wicked, like, electric guitar, like wail kind of thing, like in the soundtrack? Would that be enough of a confirmation
like
for you?
Just like in Attack of the Clones.
Yeah.
That
you know what I'm talking about? Like that
John Williams soundtrack.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right, cool. Well, yeah, I guess we can wrap up our 2023 preview here, Ryan. We went through the trailer. We talked about our hype level for Mandalorian Season 3 and the rest of the big shows and projects coming out in 2023 for Star Wars. You know, one thing we didn't talk about, and we're not going to talk about it now, but one thing we did not talk about is the High Republic, which is another focus for Star Wars in 2023. Mm-hmm. I am trying to get invested again. I'm working my way slowly through one of the novels, and I went to the comic book shop and picked up a couple comics the other day, but like, I don't know, man, that choice to stop publishing High Republic comics for a few months while they were switching publishers and whatever else, like, it messed it all up for me, because like my pull list, the new titles didn't get pulled, and now I don't have a couple of issues of the Marvel series and the High Republic Adventure. I don't know. It was all messed up. I was having a lot of trouble getting back on board, even with the comics, and I'm behind on the books. So I have to do some work.
I'm pretty far behind. I haven't been doing my due diligence with Star Wars literature. Just been reading other stuff. And it happens.
Yeah. I got a book in the mail from my favorite author today, so Grady Hendrix. So I'm going to be reading that for the next week or so, I'm sure. And then I'll try to get back to the High Republic. But all right, cool. Well, let's wrap it up here, Ryan. And so...
So in conclusion, Star Wars in 2023, it might be good or it might suck. Who knows?
I think it's going to be good. I definitely think it's going to be good. And I'm excited about a lot of the stuff we talked about tonight. I'm just going to go to bed confused as to whether or not Bo-Katan has the Darksaber or if Din Djarin does. So if you guys listening at home could reach out and let us know who has the Darksaber right now, we would.
I think that is the skeleton key to this all.
Should we maybe make the next episode about unraveling the mystery of who has the Darksaber at this point in canon?
I don't think we have the capacity to investigate that. I mean, that's like 50 Star Wars explained videos it would take to figure that out. I'm not up for it.
All right. Well, thank you very much for listening to the least knowledgeable Star Wars podcast in the galaxy. We will be back soon with another episode of the Blockade Runner podcast. Until then, you can find all of the shows, blog posts, etc. that we have produced at blockaderunnerpodcast.com. You can reach out to the show, email us, let us know what you think about this trailer, what you're excited for in 2023, let us know who has possession of the Darksaber by emailing the show, blockaderunnerpodcast@gmail.com, or you can follow the show on Twitter @blockaderun. Elon Musk has me locked out of my third-party Twitter apps right now, and I don't really know how to use the real Twitter app, so I haven't been on there a whole lot lately, but I'm hoping to get that figured out eventually. So anyway, blockaderunnerpodcast@gmail.com or @blockaderun on Twitter. And Ryan, you're on Twitter at
Vaya Malay, VayaMalay.
All right. So thanks again for listening, and we will be back soon with another episode of the Blockade Runner podcast.
We are all the Republic.